If you have a Bible, you can open to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I am going to read beginning at verse 24 through the end of the chapter. Colossians 1, verses 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Father, thank you for your word. And as we spend a few minutes together this morning looking at this text and one other, God, we are your church. We are Soma. We are the body. You, Jesus, are the head of the church. Church belongs to you. You are in charge. You're the senior pastor, the chief shepherd. And so would you be free to lead your church? May we be good sheep, trusting our good shepherd. And thank you for a few minutes together today, this morning, to cast some vision toward that end for the year. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So as I mentioned, something a little bit different today by including the budget meeting, family business meeting into the service. And so we want to talk about vision, Vision Sunday. The deacons are going to come through right now, and they've got a pair of Apple Vision Pros for everyone to put on. Not really. I spent 30 minutes of my life this last week doing a demo of these. If you've got 30 minutes in your life, it's worth it. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just got to sign up. But oh my goodness, those weird looking things. It's hard to imagine we're all going to be wearing those one day. But did we all believe we'd all be carrying a computer in our pockets like we all do as well? I don't know, you know, whatever. But no, basically, if the deacons did come with one for everyone, that would be about half of our annual budget. So we're not doing that, I promise you. But it was worth 30 minutes to try this. But we are going to talk vision, not like being immersed in this surround visual world that Apple has created or is taking to a new level, but to talk as a church about some vision, direction, and again, combining some scripture and some direction ideas, things on my heart, and then as well where then as a church our budget comes into line with that as well. And so this will be a shorter message. And let me just kind of let you know what the goal is here over the next 45 minutes, plus or minus, or so. Going to have a shorter message here now. I've got two words that I want to give us as a church for the year, supported by two passages, and then one statement, okay? And so that's my outline. That's where we're headed. Two words supported by two passages, and one statement, and what we'll do is work through those things. Then we will sing a song, and then after that song, we will get ready for a discussion of the budget. And again, if you don't want to stick around for that, that's fine. You don't have to. You can leave as that song concludes. But if you're a covenant member, especially, and if this is your home church, I hope you'd stick around for that. Pastor Jim will join me up front, and we're going to talk through the budget and some things and take questions. The deacons will come through, and they actually will give you, covenant members, a ballot that asks you to affirm or not the budget for the year. Those will get collected. And then while they're counting those, we'll have you parents go get your kids. And as I said, the idea is to come back in here at a normal time and eat some coffee cake together, announce the results. And that's the morning. That's where we're headed. That's what has been planned. So let's see how we do. All right. Two words, supported by two scriptures, and one statement. And so word number one this morning, the first word I want us to consider. And it's the word health. As a church, Soma Church Community, this year we will pursue health. I desire to pursue health as your pastor. I desire us as a church to pursue being a healthy church. Now, this isn't to say that I think we are unhealthy, you know, and like, oh my goodness, things are off the rails and we got to get healthy. Now, there's times in life like that. As humans, we know that. The older I get, it seems like there's more and more things like, oh, got to cut that out, got to do that, got to change this, you know, like if I want to stay healthy and make it, you know, more and more. And that's life. And again, the older we get, some of you can relate. There's just, it happens. It doesn't seem that we drift into health. It actually seems we kind of drift the other way. And so as a church, this word has been on my mind. And again, it's not because I think we've been unhealthy. I don't. But we're 15 and a half years old as a church, and I want us to be a healthy church. Us. I want us to be healthy. And that looks like a lot of different things. I've put a few things, bullet points here, in really no particular order, but one area of health that I'm so excited about, at the end of last year, just 2 months to the end in 2023 in November, we hired our kids ministry director, Taylor, and she's doing a great job. I get to meet with her every week in staff meeting, and I get privy to some of the emails she sends out to the team of volunteers, and she loves to pray for volunteers, which are a bunch of you in the room, for your kids. We meet on Sunday morning, actually, at 8 o'clock before we start rehearsing and doing all that. And again, on her heart is prayer for the kids, for families, for the teachers, the volunteers. She's doing a great job. And so that's one area where we have already, I think I would call it, we're pursuing health. Our kids matter. They're not the church of the future. They're very much our kids now. And I desire that our kids, again, under all a bunch of you that are already teachers and helpers, be directed and have someone encouraging you and you know, managing and all of those things that come with having a kids program. Even as we're a small church, even our small kids program, just two classes, but having volunteers and wanting the kids to love Jesus, wanting the kids to have fun on Sundays. And so anyway, I'm excited. I hope if you haven't had a chance to meet Taylor yet, and I know there's some of you that still haven't, meet her, talk to her. But she's doing a great job, and she's in class today. And so I'm thankful for that. Another area that I think represents health, and again, this is what we've done, and we will continue to do it. And you'll see this when we get to the budget, but we will continue to give away 14% of our money that comes in. So as a church, we depend on offerings. We depend on people giving to pay the bills. There's bills. That's a big part of the budget. But we are committed to giving away 14%, and at least, I'm not joking, 3 to 4 times a year when somehow it comes up. And I don't talk about it to brag, but it'll come up somehow, some of the things we do. People say to me, wow, your church gives a lot of money away. So 14%, 4% of that represents what we give to our denomination, 3% to our district. We're part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, and we are in the Western District out here in California and Nevada. And so we give 3% to our district, and then 1% goes to the national office. And again, as I continue to be involved, some of you may not know, I serve on our district board. I'm actually the chairman right now. Sad state for the board that I am the chairman. But doing okay, actually, and I'm excited about our district, excited about the leadership from Matt Moore, our superintendent, and things God's laid on his heart, and the partnership we have. There's about 51 or so churches that make up our district. And then at the national level, you know that I was just in Chicago at our denominational theology conference, and again, the quality of men and women that lead our denomination and put on that conference, our biennial EFCA1 conference, and then a myriad of resources. If there's anything I ever need, honestly, I can pick up the phone, call Minneapolis, that's where the office is, and as long as I'm on time and they haven't gone home, someone answers and they're there to help. And again, I'm excited. I'm thankful for our denomination. It's not perfect, just like no local church is perfect. But by God's grace, I believe we are pursuing gospel-centered things. And so that's another area, again, giving financially 4% to three to the district, one to the national. And then that's only four, right? 10 other percent, that's part of our first fruits. And so we meet quarterly and we support missionaries and camps and just all kinds of things outside of SOMA, things that we aren't directly involved in as a church. And it's just a joy. It's a joy to meet like Adam Peacock, for example, who preached here recently. Feathervine Ministry, that's a ministry we have decided we want to support regularly. And so I had that check and I said, "Hey, Adam," I texted him, "are you nearby?" And he came over outside my office and I handed that to him and his eyes got big and thank you, Paul. Thank your church. What a blessing. And Alliance Redwoods and Mount Gilead, those are just three of the ones that we've just gave from quarter four of 2023. So what a joy that we get to just give money away and be a blessing. So that's one other way that we are continuing to be healthy. Another area, this really is not all that exciting to me. I actually kind of hate it, but it's necessary. And that's like administrative house cleaning kinds of things. Taking, again, 15 years of files that are on my computer, and they live in the cloud and on my computer, and so they're safe, but we're trying to get those into a place where they'll live on beyond me should something happen, and you know, making sure there's a place where 501c3 documents and like all that legal stuff that's just part of being a business, because we are in some sense in the state of California, in the United States, is there. And so Adam Wilson, who's preached, we've hired him on an occasional basis as a consultant to help us get organized administratively, and that's good too for health. Again, I relate to that at home every now and then, right? It's good to balance your checkbook. And some of you have no clue what those words mean anymore, right? Because we just all live on the apps and we just check that there's money and it works. But that's just it, making sure all that stuff is working and operating. And so there's administrative pieces to being healthy. Another area that I've been sitting on for several years now is our bylaws, our church bylaws. They're good. They served a great purpose 16 years ago when we started. But now over the years, there's some things that need to be tweaked a little bit as we've operated as a church. And church bylaws shouldn't be something you change whimsically and all the time. But at this point, it's time to clean up some language, fix some things. And so as the year goes on, that's on my to-do list to get to that as well. A more important area, although those things are important, but a more important area really relates obviously to God. And again, you know, administrative things are part of being a church and managing giving and hiring, all that stuff is too. But there's three key relationships we all have to manage and work with, and that's God, number one. That's a pretty key relationship. One another in the body, in the church. And then others, those that aren't part of the church. We in the past have talked about encouraging our people, you all, to be in up-in-out groups that meet to talk about how's your relationship with God and to encourage one another in that, to be in, to be engaged in one another's, the one another's of the Christian life, and serving each other, praying for each other, and then out, being directed that there are people in our lives that we love, and we'd love to see them attend church. We'd love to see them, more importantly, put their trust in God, like we just sang about, which specifically means trusting in Jesus as the one who lived the life they can't live and died in their place so they don't have to one day face God's wrath and judgment. I mean, the gospel message, and so we need to be engaged that way. Worshiping God, engaging in the body, serving, all those things, sharing the gospel. To be healthy means all three of those are happening, and we're pointing that way. And then related to that, and I'm getting ready to show you the statement that I said we were going to get to. One thing that has struck me over the years is that there's some confusion, I think, amongst our church on what our mission and vision is. For example, the pins that some of you are using, the pins have a great slogan on them. It comes from the Bible, loving God and loving others. And so one time, talking to some people, I kind of asked, hey, what's the mission of SOMA? Loving God and loving others. No. Now that's, again, that's biblical. We need to love God, the great commandment, love others, most definitely. But that's not our mission statement. If you looked on our website, our mission statement says to make disciples. And it comes from the words of Jesus. Jesus said, after he had risen, after he had appeared to all the disciples, the 12 apostles and all the others, he said, I'm leaving, I'm heading to the Father, I'm going to be with you always, and I have this mission for you. Make disciples. As you go, by baptizing and teaching, make disciples. And so it seemed wise 16 or so years ago that if Jesus gave that mission to his people, let's just make that be the mission of the church. Make disciples. And I still think it's key, but the problem becomes, what does that mean? Because sometimes in church life, when we talk about making disciples, or when people here make disciples, they think it means I should have a disciple, like a younger person in the faith that I'm discipling. So is that making disciples? And again, I'm going to go over time if I get off track too much, but that's one of my little pet peeves. And if you're wondering why, you'll have to ask for an appointment and we'll talk over coffee longer. But it's a pet peeve because we are all disciples of one master. A disciple is a learner, a follower. And it's not a word we use, but it's a Bible word that Jesus used. And that was his mission to his people, make disciples. And he didn't mean, hey, Peter, go find someone and spend time with them and you disciple them to be like you. He was saying, Peter and John and the apostles, make more followers of me. And so that is still the mission, but I want to just change the wording briefly. And so the passage I read at the start, I'm going to jump to verses 28 and 29. It's on the screen, or you can look in your Bible. So Paul in Colossians, of course, we're studying Romans, but similar in Colossians, he has his opening remarks and his word about who he is and what he's been called to. And you heard some of that beginning of verse 24. And he, in this letter, particularly is highlighting the fact that he's been called to the Gentiles and to make known among them the mystery, which is Christ in you, this amazing thing that we can be united to Jesus. But then here, he kind of gives his mission statement. But notice the we, the second word on the screen. It's interesting. He very specifically says we. And I think he's saying, because this mission statement that I have is actually for all Christians. We all that are disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, this is what we are to be about, which is him, Jesus, that's the connection grammatically, him we proclaim, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We proclaim him, who he is, what he's done. And we go about proclaiming him by warning everyone, he says. Some translations say admonishing. Literally, the word can mean to straighten out thinking. In other words, there's a place for a correcting when something has gone wrong. Starting in the right place is never a guarantee of staying on track, and we all need to be admonished, to be warned, to be straightened out, and this is part of the proclamation of who Jesus is warning. And notice also there how many times the word everyone is listed. Warning everyone, teaching everyone, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Three times. Paul says everyone, everyone, everyone. Like, this is it. Everyone needs to hear Jesus. And along the way, everyone needs to be admonished, warned, straightened out. Everyone needs to be taught some things. Again, if warning kind of sounds negative, to be taught is almost like the positive balance of it, kind of two sides of the same coin, if you will, presenting truths about God and the world, and the way of trust and all of that, the way of being a disciple. Warning everyone, teaching everyone, and it requires wisdom, he says, with all wisdom. And then notice the goal right in the middle, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So that there it is. That's the goal, that everyone would be mature, growing, being sanctified in Jesus. And then verse 29, I love this verse too. He says, for this, and now he switches back to the singular. He says, this purpose, this mission, this is why I toil, struggling. But then the beauty here, with all his energy. Paul's toil and struggle for this purpose was empowered by God's energy, that God powerfully works within him. And so these verses have been an important set of verses for me for a long time. I remember as a youth pastor thinking that this was good stuff for what it meant to be a pastor. And I'm again just drawn that this be a clearer mission statement. These verses, again, make disciples. It's clear. Jesus said it. But I think, again, the word is just a word that we don't quite know what that means. If someone is new to the faith and they read, oh, the church is about making disciples, what does that mean? I think it's a little clearer to say something like this. And so this is our new mission statement: helping people begin and grow in following Jesus. That's it. Helping people begin. So they're starting out. It's all new. Maybe it's pre-evangelism. It's kind of like the He Gets Us commercials. Some of you hate those commercials. Some of you love those commercials. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and some of you are in the middle, but there's a whole big campaign called He Gets Us, and they were in the Super Bowl, and I was reminded by listening to some people talk about those who created the campaign, it's not meant for most of us to like, okay? That is, most of us who are disciples, who are Christians. It's really meant to be a pre-evangelism thing. So for people who don't believe in Jesus, the church, who maybe have been hurt, to be encountering something about Jesus. There's something about him. And then maybe you and I at a coffee shop or someplace might just have a conversation, and maybe, you know, the He Gets Us stuff would come up, and we might be able to say, at our church, we're all about following Jesus. Come on by anytime. If you want to learn more about what it looks like to follow him and grow in him, you know, like, that's the point. So we want to help people begin. And so we need to be sharing and engaging and being equipped in how to share our faith. And it's harder and harder. The longer we all live, the more and more those around us that aren't Christians, there's just no more categories that are the same. And so we need to be equipped. We need to be strengthened on how to share. And then as people come to faith, and as, again, like for most of us, we're disciples now, we're growing. We need to grow. We need to be sanctified and become more mature, as the verse on the screen says, right? Paul was doing all this so that everyone would be mature in Christ. So that means people have to begin and then grow. And so, yes, make disciples, but this will be the verbiage. And it's my hope that you hear me say this regularly, that you see these words regularly, that this, and then it's just clear. What is the mission of SOMA? Helping people begin and grow in following Jesus. And there's, again, a lot that flow out of that. But health, ultimately, to be on mission and not chasing five missions or three or, you know, what are we doing again? But always saying, does whatever we're trying to do, wanting to do, praying about doing, does it help us fulfill the mission to help people begin and grow in following Jesus? So health, there's our statement. And now briefly, our second word. We will pray for growth. This year, I want us to pray that we as a church would grow. And I'm not speaking about spiritual health growth. That's the other statement that we just talked about. I mean, that's there. I'm meaning here that more of these seats would get filled up. But this prayer, this word, it has to be second. We have to first be about being healthy, being about living on mission and pursuing Him, one another, and sharing our faith. And so that's God's work in us. It's all Him. We cooperate. We go along. And growth. I am praying that we would grow. I am praying that people would drive by on Sunday and see this Adventist church, but see our signs and come. I'm praying that people would see things on social media that, believe me, I don't post because I don't post things. But others do, and again, people are on their phones. People are seeing things, and so we're trying more and more to share scripture and share little segments of our worship service. And like yesterday, our hike, we had a great time together, those that were able to make it, and to just put out there that as a church, you know, we're loving one another, and when we serve, and letting people know. I mean, it's marketing these days. It's like, you know, when you used to have advertisements in places, so there's all of that. But so that I'm praying that those things bring people, that I would invite people, that you would invite people. One of the things you're going to hear in the next couple weeks as we get closer to Easter, Easter's coming fast. We're a month away. It's 5 weeks because there's five Sundays in March, but it's coming fast. And we want to see people come that don't normally come to church. And so I'm praying, and I'm going to encourage you to pray. It's God's to do. So in 1 Corinthians 3, he says there, Paul the Apostle, that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So this you know, analogy he's using is to say there's a work for planting seed, scattering seed, sharing the message. And then other people come along, and they, as they engage with people, it's like they're watering seed that was already sown. And that's all true in all of our lives. If we had time to hear all of our stories, hopefully you could trace back some different way seed was sown in your life, and then others came along and in a sense watered that seed. And then when God was ready to save you, He did it. He brought you from death to life. He brought me from darkness to light. God brings new life. God saves. We don't save people. We get to be a part of it. And so it is, therefore, with growth, when people come to faith. See, what we're not wanting to do, what I'm not wanting to do when I talk about growing, is to take the proverbial deck of cards that represents all the Christians in Santa Rosa and then just like reshuffle, you know, like let's get some Christians from that church and this church and let's just fill the seats by a reshuffling. People need to change churches at times for good reasons, and that's all, that is part of life, but we want to help people begin and grow in what? Following Jesus. You see, you're going to get it. I'm going to say it, and you're going to get it in time. And so we want to help people begin. And so for people that are just starting out to start to come and to learn and connect and all of those things. And so we will be a church that prays for growth. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay. So God, would you draw this person in my life, this neighbor, this relative, this coworker, this classmate? We have to pray. And then Paul's going to say in Romans 10, we'll see this one day in our study, brothers, sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that they may be saved. So Paul prayed for, and in context, he's speaking of some of his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters ethnically, but is our prayer to God that people in our life would be saved. It ought to be. It's a biblical prayer. So we must plant, we must water, but it's God who controls the growth. So let's pray. And so now you can see it and join me. Our mission, church, is to help people begin and grow in following Jesus. Let's say it together. Helping people begin and grow in following Jesus. These are just, again, a handful of things on my heart this year. Being a healthy church, pursuing that, praying for growth, and all the while being committed to this.